This is Building Bridges with Mimi Rosenberg and Kenna Now. National Nurses United, the nation's largest nurses union, is calling on the Senate to reject the nomination of Representative Tom Price, Donald Trump's choice for Secretary of Health and Human Services, citing Price's plans to dismantle the Affordable Care Act, support for privatization, opposition to reproductive rights for women, and proposals to reduce federal support for Medicaid.
To talk about NNU's position and how it intends to champion health care for all, we're joined by Deborah Berger, RN and co-president of National Nurses United.
And Deborah, organizations such as yours have been present, indeed, in the leadership of so many critical battles in the year before us. Now, Deborah, you're often referred to, or you refer to your union membership of registered nurses as the canaries in the coal mine. Explain the significance of this analogy to frontline health care practitioners.
Sure. The reason we say that is that we are intimately in contact with our patients on a day-to-day basis. Every single day, we interact with patients that are victims of the healthcare system as we know it. And unfortunately, over the years, we continue to see patients that are self-rationing their care, rationing their medications, rationing the treatments that they get, because they can no longer afford the copays, the deductibles, the premiums. And even though we didn't necessarily agree with the Affordable Care Act, there were a number of provisions in that act which allowed patients to be able to afford the treatments they needed. And so when we say that we're the canaries in the coal mine, we can actually see immediately what the policies our politicians put in place have as an effect on not only our patients in the hospital, but in our communities as well.
Deborah, Tom Price, Trump's nominee for HHS, has been calling for the defeat and replacement of the Affordable Care Act even before Trump became president or was even nominated. Now, Trump has made him his choice for head of HHS, and he wants to implement that, as does the Republican Congress. In fact, they believe that day one they will start working on that. What can they do in terms of that? They're talking about repeal and replace.
Well,
what does that mean?
That's what's concerning to us, is that they're not necessarily talking about replacing. They have this focus on repealing the Affordable Care Act as we know it, which could have a number of disastrous consequences for our patients. But what they said was that they thought that what would be a good idea is to repeal it with a date in the future, say 2018, 2019, so that they have an immediate press hit on this saying that they repealed the Affordable Care Act. They've realized that there are millions and millions of people that have benefited from the Affordable Care Act, such as it is, and have realized that if they did it wholesale immediately, they would be in jeopardy of losing their jobs in Congress. So they've kind of like put this little flag out there saying, yes, we're repealing it, and then they're going to try to figure out what to do to replace it. And I want to remind people that the Affordable Care Act model was actually taken from an active Republican proposal in Massachusetts, right? And they had that same model in Congress through Republican Congress, and championed that as the solution to a single-payer Medicare for all. What they ended up doing was, because Obama called their bluff and said, okay, we'll take what you had on the table, that put them at a disadvantage, because then they'd have to say that Obama passed their agenda. But what concerns us is that in repealing the Affordable Care Act, we still don't know what's going to happen to the ability to leave your children on when you're until they're 26 on your health plan. We don't know what's going to happen to establishing the pre-existing conditions part of the coverage. And we're also concerned because there's countless numbers of our nation's elderly that will be unable to access health care in an emergency. And so we're still trying to figure out what they really mean, because so far they haven't laid out a clear plan.
Co-President Deborah Berger, and I like saying president in the context of you rather than the context of Donald Trump. Co-president Deborah Berger of the National Nurses United. Talk about what else it is that is so alarming to you and your constituency about Tom Price's nomination for Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Well, he's already said that he supports Speaker Ryan's proposal to privatize Medicare. That is a benefit that all taxpayers, people that have a job, have been paying into for decades and really isn't in any financial danger, but they want to privatize it and essentially give you a voucher that says, here you have $2,000, $3,000, $10,000, here's a voucher to go buy health care, and essentially puts the onus back on the citizens in this country to go and fend for themselves when they're their most vulnerable. And so we're really concerned that what will happen is that pretty soon those vouchers will be capped at a certain cost level. And as healthcare costs escalate, people will virtually have a useless voucher that won't buy them anything.
Let me just ask you to make this more concrete. Let's say I had an oncologist for cancer treatment, and this voucher system is enacted. Does that mean, rather than what I think people are being sold a bill of goods on, that they have a much broader spectrum of medical professionals to pick from, that in fact they could wind up losing that treating oncologist and be forced into a different circumstances based on their really ability to pay?
Exactly. And what we're concerned about is this voucher system would be, as I understand that they're currently proposing it, is that there would be block grants given both for Medicaid and Medicare to the states to implement. And then you're given this voucher to purchase insurance, to deal with the copays and premiums. And we know that once the healthcare regulations on pricing and competition go away, the price continues to escalate. Before the Affordable Care Act went through, we were seeing 15 to 25% increase in premiums and copays every single year. That has come down through the Affordable Care Act, and we're concerned that once the Affordable Care Act is repealed, that it will go back to what we would call the Wild Wild West days of you're on your own society. And nurses have worked through those times, and it's heartbreaking to see people coming into the hospital with infections and people losing a limb because they couldn't afford to see the doctor to get a simple prescription that would prevent that from happening. And we've seen patients that end up on kidney dialysis because they couldn't afford the simple medication to keep their blood pressure in control. So putting this out there as a commodity, like buying a new car or buying a phone or what have you, really is putting countless millions of people's lives at risk.
Now, the other part of the equation here is Medicaid, which millions of people depend upon and was expanded under Obamacare. What are the proposals that are being floated by the new administration, Price, and the Senate and the House with regard to both traditional Medicaid and the expansion under Obamacare?
Well, this is getting back again to those block grants, and this is their ingenious way of saying that they support a program, meanwhile making sure that they can absolutely sabotage it. Because what's happened is a number of states like California and New York and Washington, Oregon, a number of states have expanded Medicaid based on promises from the federal government to subsidize up to 95% of it through special taxes on the wealthy and earned income and things like that. So what they're going to do is give these block grants to the state, cut the program at the federal level. Immediately, all of these wealthy people that had taxes are going to get tax breaks. There won't be enough to fund the program. They'll have to cut the vouchers. And states like California, who have added a few million people that were uninsured onto Medicaid through disability and poverty levels, will immediately lose their health care coverage because the state won't be able to afford it to bring back the tax revenue for that. So the Congress and President-elect Trump will be able to say, yes, we support it. No, we didn't cut it. We gave it to your state. If your state messed it up, it's your state's fault. It's not ours. So they're being disingenuous when they're saying that they're supporting it, when in reality they're doing exactly the opposite. They're sabotaging it.
Co-president of the National Nurses United, Deborah Berger, your organization has been a strong advocate for Bernie Sanders and has championed health care for all and organized around a universal delivery system for all to have quality health care access. And your organization has been in the streets and mobilizing support for what was known as the Robin Hood tax and aggressively and demonstratively fought for the rights and benefits of working nurses. And you've been a presence in the community on issues of economic inequality and racial disparities. Is that the direction that your union, your mighty, your powerful union, will continue to go in to make sure that the direction for working people is away from the priorities of Wall Street?
Exactly. We really don't have a choice in the matter. Decades ago, even before our union, nurses were part of the community. They were the ones that were the clarion call for getting making child labor laws. They were the ones instituting a public health system. Nurses were the ones that were in the tenements helping clean out the rat-infested trash, cholera-ridden tenements, holding landlords accountable. So that's in our DNA as a profession, to speak up when we see severe public health threats to our patients. And it doesn't just stop at the hospital. It doesn't just stop at the limits of our own little community. We carry that out into all of the policies. So we have done this for decades. We were lucky enough, we were honored to be able to support Senator Sanders, who essentially, we think, stole our platform and used it as his campaign. And we were proud to work with him on that agenda because we know the money's out there for these programs. We know that there is another reality. We know that health care for all is a human right, and it is possible to fund that through what we call the Robin Hood tax or the financial transaction tax. And we know that, say, in Medicare, they can and should be able to negotiate for bulk discount prices on prescription drugs. But the pharmaceutical industry has so many tentacles into our representatives, that isn't happening. And we feel that it is part of our job as a registered nurse to speak up and try to change things and show people that there is an alternative world out there that is possible, and it's not just a fantasy.
And I want to take this opportunity to say that there is a single payer, we call it Healthcare for All, a single payer strategy conference. Activists, experienced leaders alike discuss the coming attacks on Medicare, Medicaid, and the Affordable Care Act, and how we can fight back with a positive vision for healthcare justice instead of defending the status quo. If you just plug in, if you just put in single payer New York City conference, and we want to give you that last minute word, something optimistic about the process of organizations, unions like yours in struggle. Deborah Berger?
And we really rely on all of our colleagues in the union movement to stand up with us, and they are supporting us in the single payer conference in January 13th through 15th. They are working with us. There are unions that see it as their duty not to just advocate for their workers, but to also advocate for their communities. And through this rough time, the unions will be out there to work with everyone to fight back on Trump's regressive agenda.
Well, we know you'll be in the forefront. We'll be there with you. Deborah Berger is co-president of National Nurses United, one of the absolute glimmers of hope on the horizon of 2017. Thank you so much for joining us. And we got to make sure, tell your representatives to defeat Tom Price, Donald Trump's choice for Secretary of Health and Human Services.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
I have a dream. One day.
Justice. America of the people. America by the people. America for the people. Which people are you talking about? Are you talking about the wealthy with the means to stay healthy? Well, 47 million go without no doubt. We need a revolution. It's time for a brand new healthcare solution. Sing it on behalf of the uninsured, because I believe it's so absurd for America, the so-called greatest nation, to be in a healthcare crisis situation.
Someday, this nation will rise up.
Come from the land of milk and honey. But the healthcare industry's addicted to money.
One for all.
47 million in dire straits.
Excluded by greed and wealth.
But we got to get united in these states
and put the care back in health.
And now, during a recent speech on the Senate floor about health care, Senator Bernie Sanders lambasted the congressional Republicans on their upcoming proposals to repeal the Affordable Care Act without any plan on how to replace it. This, combined with their plans to reform, that is, cut Medicaid and Medicare, would devastate the U.S. health care system.
What we are looking at right now is a budget process whose ultimate goal is to remove health insurance from tens of millions of Americans. Now, let us be clear. The United States of America today is the only major country on Earth, the only one. I live 50 miles away from the Canadian border. Many of us have visited Europe. We are the only major country on Earth that does not guarantee health care to all people as a right, something that I passionately believe in. I believe that health care for all is a human right. I would have hoped that we would be working together to figure out as to how we could move forward to guarantee health care to all people in a cost-effective way. But that is not what we are debating today. Let us be very clear. The Republican budget plan lays the groundwork for ending the Affordable Care Act, which will remove tens of millions of Americans from the health insurance they get. Now, there is nothing wrong with change. We can always improve. I would hope that during the course of this debate, my Republican friends who want to repeal the Affordable Care Act will come down and tell us what their plan is, how, in fact, they are going to provide quality, cost-effective health care to all Americans. Well, you know what? They all voted against the Affordable Care Act. Senator Enzi is right. We did not get one Republican to vote for it. They have had 8 years to be thinking about how they're going to come up with a new plan. And I would hope, but I do not expect, one Republican to come to the floor and say, oh, yeah, we're going to throw 20, 30 million people out of their health insurance. This is our new plan. This is how we're going to provide health care to those people. They have no ideas. Their theme is to repeal and then delay, or someday they're going to come up with a new plan. You don't destroy a house without having another house in which people to live. You don't throw 30 million people off of health care without having a plan to provide health care to those people. Number two, under the Republican proposal, something that many Republicans have been talking about for years, they want to end Medicare as it presently exists, a program which is life and death for millions of seniors. And they want to voucherize Medicare. Give people a check and then let them go out to the private insurance market and get the best deal they can. Imagine that you are an 85-year-old senior citizen who has been diagnosed with cancer and you get your check for whatever it may be. We don't know what it will be, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000. And you go to the insurance company, you say, I've got $9,000. I'm 85, I've been diagnosed with cancer. Give me an insurance program which will take care of my medical needs, my hospital needs, and the insurance agent will laugh in your face because $9,000 or $8,000 will last you at most for a 1 week. That is their plan. Right now, and I've been all over the country, the American people are outraged at the high cost of prescription drugs in this country. Let us be clear, because of the power of the pharmaceutical industry and their lobbying and their campaign contributions, a power that exists, by the way, not only influencing Republicans, but too many Democrats as well. We pay the highest prices in the world for prescription drugs. In fact, one out of six Americans who go to a doctor to get a prescription for an illness can't even afford to fill the prescription. And yet under the Republican proposal, if you eliminate the Affordable Care Act, the donut hole, which now helps seniors pay for their prescription drugs, will be eliminated, and prescription drugs for seniors could rise by as much as 50%. Oh, and by the way, at a time when we have more income and wealth inequality than any other major country on earth, when the very, very rich are getting richer while the middle class shrinks, the Republican proposal not only throws 20 to 30 million people off of health insurance, not only raises the price of prescription drugs for seniors, not only moves forward to privatize Medicare, but shock of all shocks, our Republican colleagues want to give massive tax breaks to the top 2%. Now, among many, many other negative impacts that the repeal of the Affordable Care Act will have, will be one that it will impact heavily rural states like Wyoming, Vermont, and other rural states around this country. And that is, as a result of the repeal of the Affordable Care Act, rural hospitals could be forced to close their doors, not getting the funding that they need, leaving millions of Americans with nowhere to turn for critical medical care. So I look forward to this debate. Nobody here thinks that the Affordable Care Act is perfect. Nobody believes that at all. The goal is how we repair it, how we improve it, how we expand health care to more Americans, how we end what has been the case for decades in this country, that we pay by far the highest prices in the world per capita for health care. And maybe we should understand that we are the only major country in the world that allows private insurance companies to profit off of people's illness. The proposal being brought forth by the Republicans is not only poorly thought out, it really is not popular. It is not what the American people want. You go back to your hometowns and ask people that when a time when the top 0.1% owns almost as much wealth as the bottom 90%, when the top 1% is earning 52% of all new income, you go out and you ask your constituents whether we should give huge tax breaks to the top 2%, and they don't think that that is a good idea. According to a poll released this month by Politico and Morning Consult, 80% of the American people think the federal government should be spending more money on Medicare. Only 10% think we should be spending less. 71% of the American people think we should be spending more on Medicaid. 84% of the American people think the federal government should be spending more on Social Security. In other words, the proposal that we are seeing from the Republicans today is way, way out of touch from where the American people are.
This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with Mimi Rosenberg
and Ken Nash. And log on to our website at www.buildingbridgesradio.org.